Welcome back, guys, to another episode of The Success Bug. The only, well, maybe not the only, but the most entertaining podcast that will inspire you to escape the 9-to-5 one episode at a time. This week, I had the chance to sit down with Jamie Givinazzo. He is the president and founder of Eat Clean Bro, a meal prep delivery service, that's right, all natural prepared meals a la carte items delivered directly to your door. It was actually one of the pioneers of this new age of meals delivered straight to your door. We learn all about Jamie's journey and how he's been able to build this empire. Please enjoy Jamie Givinazzo. I think when anybody sees Eat Clean Bro, the first thing that comes to mind is how big food companies that kind of coincide with you being able to use them with your phone, how big they are today. I think of like HelloFresh and Freshly, meal kit companies, but obviously this is different. How did you come up with the idea and what did that look like for you?
It was a total accident. I started cooking for my friends back in 2005.
Okay.
It was a total accident. I started cooking for my friend back in 2005, and then all his friends wanted food, and then one thing led to another. And that gave me my dream that showed me, wow, you know, I can make an honest living just cooking for people. And yeah. I think for me, the honest living part was so important because at that time when I was 19 years old, I was a personal trainer. I felt so awful that I would have to sell a personal training session for an hour. That would be $100.
Yeah.
I would get 22, the gym would get 78. And I just felt like it was such an unfair split. I didn't feel like it was an honest living.
Yeah.
So it was like a huge combination between like, wow, this is an honest living. I'm giving people healthy food. And that was just, I just fell in love with it. I just fell in love with the honest, just the honest part, you know, like right. I'm in control. I'm being honest. I'm doing everything I can for my customer and I'm giving them the best I have to offer. And
right.
It was the whole thing I fell in love with. So the whole, everything about it.
No, it's definitely an admirable cause for you. Was it more about, because obviously half of it is eating clean for you, is fitness a big aspect for you? And is that something that you have always cared a lot about? And how did you marry the two in terms of eating clean and marrying your love for fitness into there as well?
Yeah. So when I was a kid, I was overweight. People, I would get picked on. I remember I hated it so bad. So I got crazy with working out, got into sick, awesome shape. And it was always just like a really big hobby of mine. I was always an athlete. It always came natural to me. And then it also became like my therapy. It was a big evolution over the years for me and my like fitness journey. I mean, now obviously I'm a father of two. I run a huge business and my fitness goals have been falling behind. Shout out to Dad Bod. But altogether, I think Eat Clean Bro and my fitness, all this stuff has just been an evolution of my life. And I've always looked at Eat Clean Bro as my art, where I get to express to my friends and my family and all the people who support me, I get to express myself through what this business is. I get to express myself through giving back to the community, giving back to things that I really care about and trying to make a change in the world, putting the menu together that I think people will like. They get to enjoy food. They get to really enjoy eating food that's healthy. And for me and my evolution of the fitness journey has been like, when I was younger, I wanted to be a competitive bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. As I got older, you start to realize like, you know, you're just trying to live a better life. You're trying to feel better. You're trying to sleep better at night, have better thoughts. And that's just been my evolution. It went from being like a lunatic athlete to a more mature, like, this is for everybody. We have a beginner, we have a medium hard, we have a menu. We have a menu that's for everybody, no matter what stage of your life you're in, fitness wise, or I have always known in order for me to succeed, the food has to be good. So I take a lot of pride in the fact that people literally just enjoy eating the food. So but the benefit is it's affordable, it's convenient, and it's healthy. It's always been about making good food.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know for you, you're someone who, as you just said to me, you can encourage anybody to quit their job. So, and you mentioned that, you know, you were a personal trainer and now you've started your own business, which has been super successful. What are your thoughts on the typical route of going to college and getting a job compared to funneling your passions through something like you have been able to do with Eat Clean, Bro?
Man, so that was a really good question. I think when it comes to people who are going to college, college is one of those things where I think a lot of people want to go to college and get A's. So they'll maybe they'll be like, oh, I'm not good at math. I'm going to get a sociology degree. I'm going to murder this degree. I'm going to get straight A's. You need to go to college to learn. You have to be honest with yourself. I got the most out of my college at Brookdale Community College, and I got a C minus, and I got a C minus in calculus and chemistry. And I got, I got an A plus in intercultural communication, which also like really helped educate me in like racial inequality and environmental science too. Obviously I'm really passionate about racial inequality and certain things of that nature. So those were the two courses that really helped me as a person evolve. Chemistry was really important to learn how things are built, and then so was calculus. But the two courses that changed my life from a business perspective, which was calculus and chemistry, things I didn't think I needed for business.
Right.
And C minuses, which are things like, those are not good grades.
But you still learn.
I was uncomfortable in those classes. I barely got through those classes, but the things I learned in those classes helped altered my ability to learn and think and grow and apply things I learned to problems in my life. I think with society and what people think they need to do to succeed, I'm torn between college and the reason why I'm torn between college is because kids are going into heavy debt, and I don't want to call it a worthless degree, but people who are getting degrees in sociology, communications, psychology, and then maybe they go on to get their master's, or now they're a social worker. And it's like, you got to be honest before you go into that heavy debt. This is going to be my life. This is going to be my income. What's my financial plan? I don't think anybody's going into college anymore with their head on their shoulders thinking, what does this look like when I get out of here? I have a mortgage to pay now, which is my student loan. And ultimately, I think you need to go to college. I'm a big believer in, if you have to take a year or two off, take a year or two off. You are signing up for massive debt. So before you do that, make sure you really know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Or at least like if you want to be an engineer, great. You want to be a doctor, great. You want to be a lawyer, great. If you're like up in the air and you don't know what you want to do, college is the most expensive place in the world to go and kill time.
Yeah.
I would not recommend going to college to figure out what you want to do in life. I would highly recommend against that. I ran up a lot of debt doing that myself. And I'm very happy with the way my life turned out. But I think if you're uncertain of what you want to do, you definitely need to go to community college. And if you want to kill time at community college. Don't kill time at a university where tuition is arm and a leg.
Yeah, no, that's super helpful. I think anybody who hears that can definitely take a lot from that. Before I kind of dive into Eat Clean Bro a little bit more, coming from your background, you know, you mentioned that even though you got C minuses in those two classes that really meant a lot for you, you still took a lot out of them. But did getting grades like that as a younger person put some type of chip on your shoulder to want to accomplish a certain threshold of success when you were older?
Yeah. What's funny is I do have a chip on my shoulder. A lot of it comes from just remembering how, you know, a lot of times I felt like teachers would really go above and beyond to try to make me feel dumb or I wasn't smart. And that really always pissed me off because I knew I was smart. I couldn't really get the grades to show it. But there definitely was a chip on my shoulder. I think like just naturally, I'm not going to let anyone beat me. So it's not like a violent tendency. It's just more of like, I'll show you.
Competitiveness.
Okay? Yeah, like competitiveness. Like, okay, you don't think I can do it? I'm going to do it. That's just one of the things about me where they say the same hot water that softens the potato hardens the egg. So
wow.
Thankfully for me, yeah. So the hot water. So some people... It all depends. Everybody's different. Everybody gets motivation from different places.
Yeah.
But for me, the true fire was when Hurricane Sandy happened. It decimated where I grew up. The house I grew up in was destroyed. My grandmother, my mom, my uncle, they all like lost their homes, and I was in a tough spot. I couldn't help them. And that was probably in 2000, you know, obviously Hurricane Sandy was 2012, but 2013, January 2013, that was definitely the propellant of why I was able to do what I did with Eat Clean Bro, which starting a business from nothing. And it was a lot, but it was serious. It was time to get it together.
I'd like to dig into that a little bit more in terms of, you know, coming from nothing. I know that's a big part of your story. What was that like for you scaling up and starting eClean Bro? And what were some of the challenges you faced there?
I always had really good support. So I really did come from, like, you know, I did have my dad who gave me a lot of guidance. And, you know, my dad is also a successful entrepreneur. So that, like, really helps. You don't, like, in 2013, people thought I was crazy selling cold chicken. It wasn't like, for back then, it was like a really, like, it was like really underground. Like, it's almost like before rap became popular, It was like music that people didn't understand or didn't want to listen or be a part of. And, like, that's kind of what I was dealing with. Like, I was pioneering a space that nobody knew existed.
Yeah.
And,
that's a great comparison, you know, too. In terms of, like, the rap, like, because nobody was thinking about companies like this. Like, now you see companies like yours, like, popping dominating. Popping up everywhere and dominating.
Yeah. I mean, bro, back in 2013, people thought I was crazy the whole time until really famous people started endorsing me for free. And then that's when, like, people started, oh, okay. And then, like, it seems like every year since, like, people are still, there's still, like, doubt. But, at this point, I'm eight years old, and now I don't really feel like people are doubting me anymore after 8 years of being successful, let alone all the years since 2005.
Right.
So it's been a long time, but starting with nothing, it was very hard. You know, when you start with nothing, you need to realize a couple things. You need to be honest with yourself. You need to be honest with the people around you, because there's times where you have to cut people out who are very important to you. I had to cut out my own mother. She was drinking, God knows what else. And she was a very negative influence on me, and I couldn't be around her. And I know a lot of people might think that's heartless, but until you have dealt with an addict in your family, don't tell me how to heal from something you've never been hurt from. People always say, like, oh, that's your mom. Well, yes, and I feel really bad, but if you have, like, a drug addict or an alcoholic in your family and you're trying to start a business, like, they're going to bring you down.
Yeah.
If you have negative friends or people who doubt you, or they're going to get into your head. 2013 was a really lonely time for me because I had to cut out pretty much everybody out of my life and get centered and dig down into who I was and my belief. And it was like a pretty hard emotional journey, and it's right. Crazy.
With all that, Was it difficult to maintain the mindset that this is going to work with all of these factors going on around you? Were you still able to keep a clear head and say, despite all of these things, I'm going to make this happen?
Yeah. I always tried to keep it simple. And I said, if my food can just be good and my customers are happy, I will live to see another day.
Right.
And I have people in my company now, and they try to talk to me about a 5-year plan and I'm just so embedded with, like, let's just get till tomorrow. Let's just get through the week. Let's just get through the month. And obviously plans are very important, and you have to think long-term, but you also have to always remember what's important. And when you run a business, there's so many things going on. But for me, what's most important in my business is that my customers are happy. My food is good. Also, my employees are happy, you know, because then people are going to be pulling your direction about, like, insurance or marketing or accounting. Like, there's a million things pulling you off your focus. So I always call it the North Star. You always got to make sure you have your North Star. Like, at the end of the day, you're going to be lost at sea. Like, what do you look up to tell yourself, like, all right, where's the North Star? And those five questions I always ask myself every single day: are my employees happy? Are my customers happy? Is my food being delivered on time? Is my price right? And is my food good? And they're in that order, because I put so much into my employees. My customers are very important, but I put so much into my employees with training and just always put my employees first.
Right.
My customer also very important, but there's a lot more customers than there are employees. So I always try to take care of my employees. Also always take care of my customers.
Right.
Then are my deliveries being made on time? The reason why the time is so important is because price and food being good is subjective. So 7:45 to you is 7:45 to me. Now the price being right is, like, am I within reasonable price of my competition? Which, yes, I always am. And then, is my food good? And that's just something that I being that, like, this is me and my art and I taste the food. And if it's good to me, then I say, you know what, it's good enough for the customer. And, but I do have like group think tanks and stuff. And I do always try to collaborate on if the food is good, but that's my North Star. Right. So although, yeah, there's tons of shit to worry about. I got tech projects. I got built construction projects. I have dealing with the bank, trying to get money. It's like, there's always something to worry about.
A lot of logistics.
So if I have my five questions are like, yes, everything is okay. I breathe. I say, okay, I got another day to live. Rome was not built in a day. Let me get to work. Let me work on things. Let me ship things away. If the answer to any of those questions are no, I stop immediately what I'm doing and I fix the problem. If my employees are unhappy, I fix the problem. If my customers are unhappy, I fix the problem. Like, deliveries are being made late, then it's like nonstop production meetings about how to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And then, you know, price and the food too. So I know a crazy amount about food, which is funny, but I mean, I guess I should.
Yeah.
But sometimes my mind is, because I'm not a chef, you know, I'm self-taught.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I feel like you could consider yourself a chef, no?
I've got to be one of the most, when it comes to prepared food, I feel like I'm pretty up there. I don't want to toot my own horn, but I think I'm the best at what I do. So
I would say, I mean, you know, if these are, what I was going to ask before is, obviously in the beginning when this was just your little baby and you started this, these were all, you know, this is you making this food, and you've passed this down to your employees. How much do you still have a hand in there, and are you still on the front lines in terms of making all this food, or is this more of like your recipes and your ideas passed on to the people below you?
When there's a problem, I'm hands on, but I've got such a great staff that they're doing it, man. I'm literally living the American dream. I have a great staff. I'm able to enjoy my life now. And a lot of the worry and the headache, those guys pick up for me, and it's tremendous.
Right.
So, and they're also taken care of too. They have a great schedule, employee pack. One hand washes the other. So I'm really happy with everything. But I don't think I'm that involved with, like, I'm not in the kitchen every day. And, I approve menu items and stuff, but I have a registered dietitian. I have a army. I have a lot of staff. So
right.
I have very trusted people. Having the registered dietitian on staff is huge. She's practically a doctor. So
absolutely, yeah.
I feel really good about everything that's going on.
Yeah. I mean, you should. So. And there are obviously good times and there are bad times when you're starting a business in general. When you look at Eat Clean Bro, what are some of the challenges you face particular to your company? And also, what are some of the challenges you faced in starting your own business in general?
Figuring out what Eat Clean Bro was, because there were healthy prepared food companies back then, but it was meal plans. You had to commit breakfast, lunch, and dinner, two snacks, 5 days a week, seven days a week. You would have to commit to 6 months worth of food at a time. I was the first healthy prepared meal service that offered, you know, this type of service with no contract and no minimum. So, and that took me a full year to understand and do. And that was the hardest part for me, was to understand the sales platform of what Eat Clean Bro was, because no one had done it yet. And it was completely original, but because I had relationships with my friends, so I was cooking for my friends. I was cooking for them whatever they wanted. And then strangers, I was trying to sell them meal plans. And I'm like, why am I doing this for my friends, but I'm doing this for strangers? Let me just treat everyone like I treat my friends. And when I started just treating everyone the same way I treat my friends, it just exploded.
Right.
And it all started to make sense. Like, this is what people want. I'm giving people what they want, and they're coming back for more. And that was the hardest part. It was, it was like I was trying to jam a square peg in a round hole.
Right.
And it wasn't until I just said, you know what, let me give people what they want. Everything, my whole life, my life got so much easier. And because a lot of times you have something stuck in your head, you know, I want it to be this way. But what you really got to do is just listen to what the people want and give the people what they want.
I ask almost everybody that comes on the show, like, what was your aha moment? It sounds like that was pretty much your aha moment when you realized that you didn't need to be like all these other companies that do the same thing. You were your own thing.
Right.
And you treated everybody, every customer, like your friend.
Right. Yeah. And that just felt right for me. So I did it. Yeah. I never looked back. I would say right now. So I am very fortunate that I was not financially impacted by COVID-19.
Yeah.
So when I talk about my struggle as a business owner, I need everyone to know, I'm sorry for anybody with a gym or a restaurant, people who are suffering. Like, I'm just talking what's going on in my business. And I'm definitely, my heart goes out to anybody who's on the verge of losing their business or have lost their business. Right now, COVID-19 has accelerated e-commerce business and delivery business probably a decade within a year. Everybody shops online. Right. Everybody gets delivery. So whether it's DoorDash, Uber Eats, Grubhub, Whole Foods delivers, Target delivers. When I started Eclean Bro, I was one of the first guys in the game that offered home delivery. And now everybody delivers. And what's happening, which is very scary for small business, is that big business is able to move faster than small business because of technology. So ultimately, man, the customer experience is being automated by technology. And this is very expensive technology. So small businesses like the pizzeria or the bagel shop, like me and my wife joke around, we order pizza from this place down the street. We call it Attitude Pizza. Cause you talk to the guy on the phone and he's just nasty, but pizza's great.
Yep.
His pizza's great. We have a good time with it. We laugh and but the thing is, man, like you got Target, you got Amazon, all these things, man, all the customer relationships are just automated.
Right.
The experience is the customer experience to these big businesses is superior. And it's not because it's a human being. It's because it's being done online by a fucking program. So now with what I'm dealing with, I have competition in the space. There's huge grocery chains. You know, Wegmans does a great job. Whole Foods does a good job. And these guys are able to just invest, boom, app, coupons. You know, you mentioned Freshly, where there's Trifecta. Freshly, Trifecta. These guys are jumping $90 coupons. A lot of these guys are raising capital and they have money to blow on new customer acquisition.
Right.
I'm looking forward to building my app, but that's still down the road and that's going to require a lot more hiring. So I'm stuck in the middle between, I'm not a local pizzeria, but I'm not a conglomerate. So I'm kind of stuck in the middle between big and little. So I'm in the middle and there's advantages to both, but then there's also disadvantages. So like the big guys are powdering me on digital advertising with coupons and aggressive first customer offers, which I'm just not doing. Also the technology, you know, the technology behind Wegmans or Amazon.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Amazon has the best technology, but Wegmans has really nice, nice technology. So, and this is high cost items. My basic website was $300,000 to up it a little bit more, probably be another 300. Then to roll out the app will probably be another 300. So by the time it's all said and done, and then you got the right hires and you're looking at over $1 million investment just to give people a little bit better of an experience, which is obviously well worth the investment, but being self-funded and owning 100% of my company, it just takes time to get there and hopefully I can keep up. But at the end of the day, good food and good service will always win. So you could have the best coupon in the world. People are going to order your food. It's going to be horrible and you're going to come back. My brand loyalty is insane and I really appreciate it. There's a really good relationship there. So,
Right. I mean,
that's if you can understand what I'm dealing with. Obviously, thankfully I do not have to deal with COVID-19, but the big sharks are in the water and they're gobbling up everybody. And they're just, this COVID-19 has made the internet business advance by at least a decade in under a year. It's just a very turbulent time.
Right. I know you have to hop in a little bit. I did want to ask,
We can let this thing, ride a little longer. If we're killing the game, we can let it go a little longer.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to appreciate, I was just going to say, going off of that with the pandemic in terms of just looking ahead for anybody, not just you as a business owner, but for everybody, like what is your biggest piece of advice for anybody looking to start a business with the way things have gone and in general?
I would just say you have to use your friends and your family. You have to have a good relationship with them. You have to give them your product or your service. give it to them for free, but, you know, get honest feedback. And before you roll out to market, try to roll out, like in restaurants, we do soft openings where you invite your friends and family, you feed them for free.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you let, hey, what happened? Like what went wrong? You see where some of your holes are in your game. And then the next week you go into real service. So use your friends and family, give them some stuff for free. Don't be afraid to do things for free. I've been in business 8 years. I still do a ton of stuff for free. Don't be afraid to do anything for free. Free is good. Get out there, get the experience, get the feedback, get the constructive criticism, and use it to better yourself.
Right.
And you're going into this business as a student. You're not the master. I think
I like that.
People start their business and I'm the CEO and you can't talk to me like that. Like I get my ass beat every day by my employees, by my customers, and people's problems and try to fix them and give them a better solution. So you're starting a business to be a better life. You're not starting a business for a title or to flex or to show people how powerful you are. So hopefully that helps.
Right.
I hope people take that away. Like
deflating the ego a little bit. Like it's not about that.
Not about that at all.
Overall, as somebody who you've definitely, you know, carried yourself as somebody who just definitely thinks there are other options out there, you know, like you can start something, you know, regardless of what your background is and what, you know, your experiences have been, like you have the potential to do something great. So as your parting advice to anybody, you know, aside from, you know, strategy wise, pandemic, all of that aside, like what are your two cents for anybody looking to start a business, do something great with their lives, and hopefully reach the level of success that you've been able to with Eat Clean, Bro?
The most important thing is honesty in yourself, which is self-awareness. A lot of times it's really hard to be self-aware because we are who we are and we are that person every day. And what makes us who we are? What makes us happy? What makes us sad? What are we good at? What are we bad at? Like these are things you really want to know before you start taking on huge debt or before you start making life altering decisions. You want to go into this game really knowing who you are. And you want to know who you are and you want to know what you want. And those are the hardest things you will ever, that is the hardest thing in life. Who am I? What do I want? When do I want to buy? And those are things you really need to know, because if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And that's just something that no matter what business is, you just have to have a really good understanding of who you are, what you want, when you want it by. That will be what I have to say for the closing statement.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, wonderfully said. I mean, I think it was a quote from Alice in Wonderland. I forgot. I think it was the rabbit who said, if you don't know where you're going, then I can't really help you. Or like you have, like if you don't, you have to know where you're going. You have to know where the destination is before you try to start mapping something out. Right.
It seems so simple, but it is so hard. And that hardest thing. And if you don't, friend, or you could ask, ask people who know you, like, hey, like, you know, and they'll tell you. You ask them for honest feedback, they'll give it to you.
Right.
If you're having a hard time figuring out for yourself, there's people around you that'll give it to you.
Right.
I was very lucky. I had my friends were assholes. They used to beat my ass. They always tell me, you know, my friends were always very honest with me, and I was very fortunate to have my friends. So.
Well, clearly, you know, it ended in a good way, you know, because their honesty with you allowed you to do what you've done today, which is just all, you know, awesome loads of accomplishments.
Sure. But what's funny is
when I was
broke, they'd break my balls about being broke. And now I'm not broke and now they're calling me fat. So I can't win, man.
What are you supposed to do at that point?
Oh man, but I'm gonna lose weight and then what's next?
You're gonna use your own recipes that you made with your own business that you to make your own money, and then you're gonna have all three.
Asparagus, broccoli, chicken breast, it's coming.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful, man. Well, you know, Overall, I appreciate you coming on the show, man. I think that you've really just offered a unique perspective. Not many people are able to do what you've done in your space, especially in such a large and competitive industry that we have today. Because like you said, you were one of the pioneers of it. Now it's a very, very diluted industry. So the fact you've been able to survive it and continue to survive it with everything going on and provide advice to anybody who wants to get into something similar in a pandemic, I appreciate it, man. I think it's very invaluable.
Thank you, brother. It was a good one.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. What I always love to do at the end too is I know you got the hat on too. So when we post some videos, people will see it, but we love to give everybody who's listening a place they can find you, you know, whether it's the website, any other places that you'd want to call out right now.
We're Eat Clean Bro, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, even on YouTube. And then I'm Jamie Giovinazzo. If you want to find my personal page, just look at Eat Clean Bro, and I'm sure there's a post of me somewhere that you could find. And that's what we've got going on, man.
Sounds good. Well, I mean, you guys heard it here first. Anytime you want to catch Jamie, you know, head over to Eat Clean Bro, type in his name in Google. I'm sure it'll be the first thing that pops up. Yeah. And we're looking forward to seeing the awesome things you guys continue to do, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much, man.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, bro.
And that is it, everyone. Shout out to Jamie. Great interview, really dropping the gems about a lot of things that maybe other entrepreneurs might not want to talk about. And that's COVID-19 and the impact that it has had on small businesses and it will continue to have moving forward. Fact check from the interview, I did say that from Alice in Wonderland, the rabbit said something about if you don't know where you're going, but it was actually the Cheshire Cat who said, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. He said that to Alice while she was in the woods, and I did not recall that during the interview, but that is the actual quote. And it holds true today. It's exactly what Jamie was saying. I hope it inspires you all to take one step closer to escaping the 9-to-5 with this episode. See you all next Friday. We'll have another interview with a young, successful, relatable entrepreneur. Peace out.